Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Doug Terrell History and Comment.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Terrell. This is History and Comment for Wednesday, the 22nd of March, 2023. Pope Clement V dissolves the Order of the Knights Templar in 1312. This is a few decades after the Crusades. The Templars are thought to have played a major role in that period, especially in terms of financing. Exactly what the Templars' function was and when they finally went away is the subject of much debate. Some thoughts are they were the beginning of banking in Europe and maybe the origins of the Swiss bank. The Pope was under pressure from French King Philip to disband the order. Philip was under great debt to the Templars, and they were financing his war with England. There are a couple of stories from the 1620s that demonstrate how European and natives in North America had different relations. In 1821, the Pilgrims sign a peace treaty with the Wampanoags, while the next year the settlers and natives are warring further south at Jamestown, Virginia. There are almost 350 settlers are killed. A decade later, the Massachusetts Bay Colony outlaws the possession of cards, dice, and gaming tables. Anne Hutchinson is expelled from the colony in 1638. Hutchinson was well-educated, especially for a woman in the early 17th century. She started holding meetings for women, discussing and further expounding on the recent sermons. As time went on, Hutchinson became more vocal in criticizing the doctrines of the recognized ministers. She began teaching that the colony ministers were in fact teaching salvation by works, contrary to biblical teaching of salvation by grace. They were not happy. The exact same debate can be made today. Virtually no preacher in Christendom will openly state they believe in salvation by works. That position is clearly against biblical teaching. But when you listen closely to the concepts being taught and take them to their logical conclusion, they are in fact teaching that salvation, or the maintenance thereof, is based more on a person's actions than grace extended from God. It's often buried in a thought along the line that if you're not eating green Jell-O once a week, you might not be saved. The green Jell-O could be any number of good acts, many suggested in the Bible. The suggestion is that insufficient green Jell-O can put one's salvation in peril. The next thought from the pew is, I hope I've eaten enough green Jell-O to make heaven. Now we've crossed the line of faith from grace to green Jell-O as a key factor. Then the pulpit will argue they never said that salvation was by green Jell-O. Hitler ate green Jell-O, and he certainly was not saved. The discussion becomes contentious and circular. The United States is trying to limit the slave trade in 1794. Congress passes the Slave Trade Act that bans the export of slaves from the United States and from U.S. ships engaging in the international trade. Orlando Jones of Britain is issued a U.S. patent for a process of applying a strong alkali to grain starch, dissolving the gluten and retaining the starch. The year is 1841. Initially, it was used on rice, but quickly the application to corn was clear. This extraction process made starch readily available for a wide range of uses. It remains a key step in grain wet milling today. Chico Marx, the oldest of the Marx brothers to live to adulthood, is born Leonard Joseph Marx in 1887. The Marx brothers were of French-German-Jewish ancestry. The first Stanley Cup competition in ice hockey is held in 1894. Author Louis L'Amour is born in 1908. He's remembered for his short stories, often written in a Western setting. Actor Werner Klimperer is born in 1920. Klimperer is remembered as the Nazi camp commander in the television series Hogan's Heroes. The irony is, both Klimperer and actor John Boehner, who played Sergeant Schultz, were both born into Jewish families. Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson is 93 today. William Shatner is 92. Do we need to give his bio? He played Captain Kirk on the original Star Trek. He has a strong dislike of watching his performances, and there are episodes of the original series he has never watched. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signs an act in 1933 allowing the manufacture and sale of 3-2 beer, or about half the normal alcohol. This is the first crack in prohibition. The Nazis opened the first concentration camp at Dachau, Poland in 1933. This is 10 years ahead of the worst atrocities. The first Masters tournament at the Augusta National Golf Club is held in 1934. The Grand Coulee Dam in north-central Washington goes into operation in 1941. The scale of the dam is massive, if less well-known than the Hoover Dam. The Hoover is more narrow and taller at 720 feet. The Grand Coulee is 550 feet tall and wider. Both were for hydroelectric generation and irrigation. The Coulee is the largest electrical generating plant in the United States, with a label rating of 6,800 megawatts. The largest coal plants are in the 3,300 megawatt range. Of the top five generating plants in the United States, numbers 2 and 5 are nuclear, 3 and 4 are natural gas. Coal fills out the top 10. Actor Jimmy Stewart is the first major American movie star to wear a military uniform in World War II. The year is 1941. He will not be the last. Hollywood was far more patriotic in that period than we see today. Congress sends the Equal Rights Amendment to the states for ratification in 1972. The deadline will be extended, but the legislation will not meet the required number of states to alter the Constitution. A fire at the Browns Ferry Nuclear Power Plant causes a dangerous reduction in cooling water levels in 1975. The fire was limited to foam insulation and control cabling. There was no radiation leaks. The Browns Ferry operation by the Tennessee Valley Authority is number 5 on the list of largest electrical generating stations in the United States. Actress Reese Witherspoon is 47 today. All of the major sports leagues have had mergers with rival smaller upstart leagues. In 1979, the National Hockey League accepts 4 World Hockey Association teams: the Edmonton Oilers, Winnipeg Jets, Quebec Nordiques, and the New England Whalers. Only the Edmonton Oilers have remained in their original cities. I saw on social media that the R.J. Corman Railroad Company is celebrating 50 years since its founding. The company has an intriguing history, nearly rags to riches. Richard J. Corman, the namesake, was an 18-year-old with a single backhoe and dump truck when he began doing contract work for the major railroads near his home in East Central Kentucky in 1973. The story is quite impressive, but what caught my eye was some of the comments. R.J. Corman is apparently non-union in an industry that is heavily unionized, and the comments were the normal slurs. I will easily bet that the guys being critical of Richard Corman did not have one-tenth the drive that he did. The guy was possessed. Now, I will grant there are some cases where unions still offer some value and have a function, but the mindset that is often put on display, I will readily admit, I do not understand. My background is small business owners and farmers, neither of which would last a year with the attitude that seems organic to union workers. Which brings us back to Richard J. Corman and the workers who disdain him. That's History in Comment for the 22nd day of March. I'm Doug Tyrrell. Now go do something worth remembering.